Good morning. You know, one of these times you might just have to restrain me. Because in that first song, we started talking about some dancing and singing. I was almost there. And you know, when we get to heaven and we think of worship, it wouldn't surprise me if we see people doing just exactly that as they're worshiping God. Amen?
Amen?
You know, according to the Bible, a part of my job is to equip you for acts of ministry, especially to the body of Christ. But another part of my job involves equipping you to be able to defend the faith. And there's one area in which the faith has been under attack again and again and again for many, many years, to the point of intimidating some of us in Christian circles. And that topic is the topic of homosexuality. Many states are being confronted with statewide referendums that would allow homosexuals to marry. To help prevent this, Wisconsin, a few years back, had a group of people come forward and appealed to have an amendment attached to the marriage legislation and how it is to be defined. And it was passed fairly solidly, stating that marriage is to be defined between one man and one woman. But as we know from past experiences, the efforts of those who are the proponents of this will continue on. And besides, just like in Massachusetts and California, the will of the people can be usurped by one judge stating that it's unconstitutional. And so in Wisconsin, many feel that it's just a matter of time where once again there'll be another battle. But one reason why this is happening, not only in Wisconsin, and I'm sure some of you are fully aware, this coming up election, there are at least four states where this is again trying to be passed. But one of the reasons that this keeps coming up, especially in Wisconsin, is because there's one main body behind it, a large, well-organized body, and that is supporting homosexuality and is constantly trying to throw this upon the hearts and minds of the children. And much of it revolves around a large body of teachers. Now, praise God for the good teachers that we do have and the Christian teachers. Amen? But at the same time, there's a large group of them that have formed a coalition, if you will, and they're in agreement. I know this for a fact because, you know, I'm from Wisconsin. My son went in the public schools from ninth grade all the way to his senior high. And I have had some of the high school students come into my own home personally telling me, it doesn't matter if it's math class, it doesn't matter if it's English class, the teachers are bringing this topic up again and again and again to try and win their hearts. I also know that this is true for a fact, because a large group of them came together at a high school, formed a petition, sent it to the legislators of Wisconsin, requesting that they would approve gay marriage in the state. There was one teacher and only one teacher in that group that did not, and she happened to attend our church at the time. And so it's extremely important for us as parents and as grandparents that we equip our children to be able to have an intelligent dialogue that will counter the arguments of those who are supporting this lifestyle, whether they be public school teachers or politicians, arming them so that they can defend the faith. For the battle that is before them is a real one. The battle that is before them is a spiritual one that will involve eternal consequences, as well as consequences for this present age that we live in. the author of this present darkness that all of this is revolving around, loves nothing more than to win the hearts and minds of the children. And so one of the purposes of this sermon this morning is to help equip us to be able to defend our position, to help equip us to be able to help us also in the midst of taking a stand for what we believe, to do so with kindness, to do so with love, as in the kind of love that Jesus Christ demonstrated. One way to get there is by understanding the root causes of homosexuality. And if the body of Christ did understand this, I promise you there would be a whole lot more compassion coming from Christians and wanting to help them come out of this lifestyle. I believe that some of these Christians that stand on the sidewalk and hold up these signs and do this name-calling of, you know, like fags, is wicked. I believe they themselves need to repent just as much as the homosexual needs to repent of their behavior, because that is causing them to not want Christ, for whom Christ died. One of the number one things that supporters of homosexuality want us to believe is that homosexuality is genetic. We hear many proponents. I've heard a judge publicly say it was genetic. I'm sure some of you have heard recently politicians saying it was genetic. However, the evidence is on our side that this is not true. And I will share that with you in just a minute. But for us, as Christians, the number one way in which we know it's not true is because if it were true, then God would be guilty of condemning them for something that was innately in them. And God is not guilty of anything. Man is. Especially when it comes around the lies that are being put and thrusted on people to make them believe that it's okay. Some who try and justify this lifestyle will sometimes say, if it was wrong, would not Jesus have addressed it? How do you answer that? We can answer it by saying, he didn't need to because it wasn't a problem with the Jewish population of his time. One, they did not have a problem with it because they did not have a lot of broken up families like we have today, which often becomes a contributor to this lifestyle. Not that it has to if certain things are put in place, but often does when the male figure is absent out of the home. And secondly, Jewish people did not have a problem with this because they believed God's laws and they believed God's word and they believed God who said it's wrong. But many Christians today, and I am saying Christians, have succumbed to the secular thinking because of some of their arguments that they must be right and we're wrong. Although Jesus did not speak out on this topic, his Father sure did. And the two are in agreement, such as in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, it says, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. The Lord Jesus teaches us in John chapter 17, verse 11, and John chapter 17, verse 22, and also in John chapter 10, verse 22, that the Father and the Son are one. And Jesus does not have a different opinion on this topic than his Father. The apostles, such as the apostle Paul, whose ministry was mainly with the Gentiles, and it was mainly with the Gentiles who had this problem, addressed it and made it clear in Romans chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. It says, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for the unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust towards one another. Men committed shameful, or your version might say, indecent acts with one another and received in themselves a due penalty of their error. Furthermore, just as we did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to that depraved type of thinking. And so they do what ought not to be done. The Bible is clear that this lifestyle is a sinful offense to God. But despite that, there is a lot of confusion among Christians because they hear things like, science has proved it's genetic. Now, why is this so important that we get this seated in our hearts and in our minds that homosexuality is not genetic? Well, one, for the sake of faith. We need to make sure that our faith is rock solid. If it is genetic, then would there not be reason to believe that the Bible is untrustworthy? Would that not shake people's faith in it? Would it not cause people to doubt that maybe it's not the Word of God completely? If it's genetic, how then could anyone trust Christ to be fair, to be just, and to be loving? If the Creator made them that way and then turns around and condemns them for it. All that can do is all the more cause people who believe that, and they do, to hate God and to hate God's children. That all the more fuels the fire of their anger. And that's why Satan wants them to believe this deception, so that they will hate God and the Christians who take this stand. Satan's specialty is deception. And many have become deceived into thinking it's genetic, because I mentioned a moment ago, many in the public arena are declaring it so. But the truth is, there is absolutely no proof that homosexuality is genetic. And I want to repeat that. Absolutely no proof that homosexuality is genetic. Although we've heard this all the way back to 1993, such as I believe it was on the cover of Time magazine, and the article read, "Born Gay, Genetic Link." They named the gene XQ28. But the truth is, no gene was ever discovered. Did you know that? No gene was ever discovered. And so then they got to take it to the next step. Well, then perhaps maybe there's just some kind of association with these genes that have a propensity towards homosexuality. And again, as they did their homework, there is no association that can ever be proven of that. What Time magazine did not tell the public was that the scientist who first came out with this later came forward and admitted that they failed to find what they first hoped for. And why were they hoping for it? Because then it would prove that homosexuality is a justifiable behavior. I haven't heard a man with a doctorate degree, many years after this has been proven as to be false and that there is no such gene, he's got a doctorate degree, talking about this XQ28 gene. I guarantee you, this lie comes from the father of lies, the devil. He is the one at work, and he will do everything he can to try and get people to believe that it's genetic if he can. Because he wants God's people in the end, especially from the secular world, to look foolish. He'll do everything he can to try and get people to believe that it's genetic, because if he can, then he can destroy your faith in God, as well as your faith that the Bible is the Word of God from which truth comes. And it is the Word of God. It is the source of our truth, and it is a truth that will never betray us, never mislead us. Another reason why it is important that we understand correctly the truth regarding homosexuality is because if they end up believing that it's genetic, not only would it destroy their hope or trust in God, but it would also make the situation hopeless for those who want to get out. And believe me, there are plenty who have gotten involved in this lifestyle and they want out, but they have become prisoners into believing that there is no way out because of the lies that have been spread that they've been born this way. Satan's goal is to try and instill hopelessness a feeling that there is no way out for them. He wants them to believe that they cannot be free of this lifestyle. And that is what hell is about. Because hell is a place of no hope. And he wants to bring people to that place of no hope here. So as you sometimes often hear, they experience hell on earth. And it's taking place because what they're really in bondage to is not a lifestyle, but a belief system that is a lie. The media and the television are constantly trying to convince us how happy the gay man is and his lifestyle. But the truth is they have a higher rate of depression and a higher rate of suicide. The truth is many of them are filled with incredible insecurity about who they are because they're confused. There are many reasons for these things, but one is the average homosexual's lifestyle is filled with insecurity because they can't find love as they thought they would. Their lifestyle is so unstable that a poll that was taken by homosexuals revealed that even when they have a partner, they end up cheating on that partner an average of 7 times in 1 year. They're unstable because they have not found true love. At first, when they get involved into this type of lifestyle, they can't help but feel this is the answer because they're surrounded with so many people who feel the same way. But with time, a huge emptiness begins to grow. It begins to brew within their hearts. And why? Because their true emotional needs have not been met. Now, for those of us who know the Bible, the Word of God is enough for us to trust in on this subject. Amen? But at times, it is good that we do our own research. And the reason why is because for those who do not know that the Bible is absolutely trustworthy and that you can rely on it for what it says, it can help clear the path for them to see, wow, despite all I've been told, the Bible is true after all, and research can help them come to that conclusion. Also, afterwards, when the research is done and the evidence is weighed out, it can help people begin to see clearly the deceit and the ignorance and the bias that is involved in both the media as well as Hollywood that has been a part of causing this blind understanding to reign. Dr. Charles W. Sicardis from Albert Einstein College of Medicine says in the American Handbook of Psychiatry on the topic of homosexuality, the major challenge in treating homosexuality from the point of view of the patient's resistance has, of course, been the misconception that the disorder is innate or inborn. Did you hear that? John Hopkins Medical Journal reported that when extremely effeminate males have been tested, and have shown normal levels of hormones. Other tests have verified these findings, and some have uncovered an even higher ratio of male hormone in homosexuals than in heterosexuals. Now get this last part. Remember, this is John Hopkins. To date, there is no evidence to support the notion that homosexuality is inherited. Dr. Charles Wall, a researcher in this field, says, the vast preponderance, so this isn't some just small group of data that's been put together, but the vast preponderance of evidence clearly indicates that homosexuality is a learned disorder and is genetically inherited, is not genetically inherited. On the basis of all known scientific data, it is safe to say that one's genetic and biological makeup is indeed determined by sex, but not your sexual preference. Another quote from Dr. Charles W. Sicardis, and he's a psychiatrist, and he has written widely and has spoken on this abundantly. in an article titled Basic Concepts and Psychodynamics, says, homosexuality, the choice of a partner of the same sex for satisfaction, is not innate. There is no connection between sexual instinct and the choice of sexual object. Such an object, meaning whoever they might choose, is a learned, acquired behavior. There is no inevitable genetically inborn propensity toward the choice of a partner. And then finally, Master and Johnson. And by the way, Master and Johnson is widely known to be one of the top authorities who've done the most research on this topic in regards to human sexuality. They have stated, and it's in a book titled Human Sexuality, the genetic theory of homosexuality has been generally discarded today. Isn't that amazing? I'm sure many of you are saying to yourself, I've never heard the media tell us anything about this kind of research, which all the more I think would conclude within our hearts that either there's an awful lot of ignorance or bias ruling or some kind of agenda deep down in their hearts that they want accomplished. What causes homosexuality? Some of you may have caught it. In the research that I've just shared, it says that homosexuality is a learned behavior, not voluntarily, but involuntarily. And one major reason through which it comes about is the absence of a father in a home. And thus the child learns to be more like the mom and naturally ends up with effeminate characteristics. Or if a dad is home or is present in the home, but has not been meeting the emotional needs of that young boy, perhaps sometimes it has to do with him working two jobs. That's why I've always made it a goal to take time for my children, even if it meant less money, even when I was in the secular world. If it's not a dad being absent or not meeting his son's emotional needs, then another reason that sometimes young boys turn to homosexuality is when a man is in the home, but he's harsh and he's overbearing. And the man can actually become afraid of masculinity. Clinical studies have revealed over and over again that the single most common factor that contributes to homosexuality was an unhealthy relationship between him and his father. This is why it's so important that a father take time in participating in his child's care from early on, from things as simple as playing with him to combing his hair in front of a mirror, taking time to nurture his son as he's growing through the challenges of life. And if he can't meet those challenges like perhaps some other boys can, a father can address and help him work through those insecurities. Important that a father take time on projects and is working with his son side by side and doing so with patience and tenderness and warmth when they make their mistakes. And get this, also having a male dominance in the home increases the likelihood of masculinity in their son. I think it's worth noting that the researchers use the word dominance in the home for a man, and then went on to say, if the mother becomes the dominant figure, boys will show less tendency to imitate their fathers and less overall masculinity. Isn't it interesting that when the Bible lays out the structure from the home or for the home, it clearly defines that a man should be allowed, and notice I worded it that way, to be the leader in the home. However, with tenderness and love. But modern society poo-poos that idea of a man being the head of the home and without knowing it has contributed to factors that have led to either a less masculine male or one who then ends up going towards homosexuality. God has laid out from the beginning of time a family structure. And he laid it out that way to protect us from this kind of fallout. And by the way, the quotes that I've just given you in regards to the research have been printed, and you can obtain a copy at the information desk, and I encourage you to please do so. And I did it in part to help equip you and so that we can equip our children. Fathers who take time for their sons end up affirming not only their masculinity, but gender identity as a male. When this doesn't happen, it is described as a deficit in which normal psychological needs as well as unmet emotional needs do not become fulfilled in that little boy. And this is why same-sex marriage would be devastating. For it denies the opportunity for a young boy to be able to identify with his gender that needs to be there in a home environment. It prevents him, it inhibits, it interferes with him being able to experience the fullness of his own gender identity and manhood that God wants him to have. That's why it is so important that you have a male and a female in the home. Now, some of you might hear this morning or might be listening, might be thinking that perhaps this minister put all this research or obtained all this research from some small Christian group. And I tell you, the answer is no. All the information I just shared with you was done by a homosexual who was tired of not just the depression, but the severe depression that he was suffering through because of what his lifestyle had brought upon him. In case you might like to buy the book, he wrote a book. It's titled, You Don't Have to Be Gay by John Conrad. Isn't that amazing? Next week I'll be talking a little bit more on this and share with you about lesbianism, what causes that. And next week I'm going to also share with you the testimony of a man who was challenged to go and do his own homework on this topic. Do not believe the media. Do not believe all these proponents that support this in the public arena. Do your own homework. And he did. He was shocked. So much so. Well, I better not let the cat out of the bag. You'll have to come hear what happened to his life. But in closing, you can trust the Bible to be reliable when it says this lifestyle is wrong. You can trust the Bible that it's not because God is anti-anything. It's because God is trying to protect us from hurt and pain and depression and emptiness and trying to bring us to that place of knowing and understanding what love is and with it fulfillment that both genders need. We have to equip our children so that they can dialogue intelligently about this topic so that their faith does not become destroyed. We need to be able to help them when someone says and they're caught off guard, well, Jesus never spoke out against it, to be able to tell them that's because back then among the Jewish population, that was not any kind of epidemic or problem like we have today. So why would he address it? But his father sure did. And the two are in agreement. We need to let people know that the science is on our side. And we need to be able to be equipped and to have this knowledge to be able to minister to the homosexuals themselves who want to come out of this lifestyle. And again, I repeat to you, there are far more, many more that want out, but they believe they can't get out. And so we need to be equipped to be able to tell them, yes, you can. And it starts by knowing the truth about this. That's the starting point. And then after that, we as Christians showing enough compassion to minister to them and to take time for them. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you that you help us to be able to break through the deception and the lies. We thank you, Lord, that your word has taught us well, that the God of this world, the spirit and powers that be, is Satan. That he is at work, and he has deceived the masses. But that, Father, you've given us your word that we may never be misled, that we can always walk confidently, and in that confidence, be able to help people come to that true place of heart, that they might experience more of the fullness that's meant to be theirs in their own gender identity, as well as fullness of having all the emotional needs met. Father, we thank you that you've allowed even this homosexual who did this research to not only come to this conclusion and then wrote a book, but you brought him to a saving knowledge of yourself. Father, we praise you for it. And Father, we also pray, forgive us, Lord, where we've been insensitive. Forgive us, Lord, where we've been uncaring. Forgive us, Lord, when perhaps we didn't take a stand against these Christians who have been plainly wicked and have failed to understand that their own behavior has only interfered with the homosexual's inability to repent and come to know you and your love. Father, we pray that you would help us to be a people that will all the more walk confidently after what we've heard and take the stand that we are called to take, that we as a nation and as your people would have not only your blessing, not only your favor, but would be a people that, Lord, cause you to rejoice because we believe you and will not and have not come or succumbed to the false wisdom of this world. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Again, information desk, don't worry if we run out. I'll be glad to print more. Make sure you have a copy of this. And please, I put this, what you see, I put in Samuel, my son's backpack. And one day, one of the teachers started in this. And my son said, do you know that the number one contributor to a young boy becoming a homosexual is a father not being there or being hard on a son? And the teachers just stopped off guard, because see, they're not used to students challenging them. And the teacher said this, you know, I just read that this weekend. What's the chances of that? That's God. And I share that if you will speak up and speak the truth in love, in patience, and in kindness, God will afford you opportunities just like that. But we need to be a people who share the love of Christ and do it in a way that is respectful. Amen?
Amen.
Please stand for our closing song of worship.
Amen. Let's use this song as a continuation of that.